scripture reading for tonight is from Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Read verses 7 to 11. That's page 1505 in your Pew Bible. 1505, 1505 in your Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 7, 7 to 11. And after this, we'll be looking at Lord's Day 46 in the Heidelberg Catechism as we look a bit more at the Lord's Prayer tonight as we have our series on the Lord's Prayer. First of all, Matthew chapter 7, 7 to 11. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds saying, "Thanks be to God." 7, verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word. And then we turn to Lord's Day 46 in the back of your Psalter hymnal of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 918. I'll ask the questions, and the congregation maybe responds reading the answers. Lord's Day 46, question and answer 120 and 121, and these deal with the first line of the Lord's Prayer. So we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," etc. So we're talking about our Father and in heaven. Lord's Day 46 asks, "Why did Christ command us to call God our Father at the very beginning of our prayer?" Christ wants to kindle in us what is basic to our prayer, the childlike awe and trust that God through Christ has become our Father. Our fathers do not refuse us the things of this life. God, our Father, will even less refuse to give us what we ask in faith. Why the words "in heaven"? These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty as something earthy, and to expect everything for body and soul from his almighty power. So far, the readings of the Heidelberg Catechism as well. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, so we're looking at the prayer that our Lord taught us to pray. We look at the Lord's Prayer. We were introduced to this series last time. Actually, we were introduced to the Lord's Prayer proper by first talking about prayer in general. So if you remember, we talked about why we should pray. We talked about how we should pray. We talked about what we should pray for. And it was after all of that that we were introduced then to the Lord's Prayer. I didn't say too much about the Lord's Prayer last time. Really, all what we noted was its structure. If you recall, the Lord's Prayer has like three basic parts. The Lord's Prayer has the address, "Our Father who art in heaven." Then there are the petitions. And then there is the doxology, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." The main part of the Lord's Prayer are those petitions. There are six of them, which can be divided really into two groups. The first three petitions deal with God's concern, God's cause, and God's glory. And the last three petitions deal with our needs and our concerns. So the way the prayer goes, it's, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." And then it's, "Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation." There are like then these two arrows in the Lord's Prayer. We always pray to praise God, to give him all the glory. We pray for his cause. And then there's those arrows that point down. We pray for the things that we need. We have our concerns too. And so prayer is this give and take thing. Arrows point up, arrows point down. That's what prayer involves. And that's what the Lord's Prayer involves too. This we all do before the face of God. tonight, we are beginning to look at the different lines of the Lord's Prayer. Tonight, we look at the very first line. We look at the address, Our Father in Heaven. The picture is going to be up. There we are. Yep, there's the first picture. We're going to look at the very first line of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. Although before we do that, maybe a little bit more of a common first, allow me to say that the Lord's Prayer was never meant to be this exact form prayer, this exact form prayer that we must never add to or subtract from. That was never its intention. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us a rough and ready example of things we can pray for. It's not meant to be this legalistic thing. This is the Lord's Prayer. We don't need to treat it that way because Scripture itself doesn't treat it that way. There are two versions of the Lord's Prayer in the Bible. There's the one in Luke 11. There's the other one in Matthew 6. And both are not the same. And that's okay. Even in the history of the Christian church, it was not always recited in the exact same way. You take the doxology at the end of the Lord's Prayer, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, amen. That's something we usually add to the end of our prayer, right? But if you read Matthew 6 or Luke 11, the doxology is not part of Jesus' original Lord's Prayer. Jesus simply didn't have it as part of the Lord's Prayer. So why do we recite it then? Because that doxology was very common in the early church. That's how they usually ended their prayers. Somehow, someone, sometime, just added that doxology to the Lord's Prayer. It was never a problem, and it isn't a problem. The Lord's Prayer was never meant to be this exact word-for-word kind of thing. It's just a model. Jesus gives examples of things that we can pray for. Let's keep this in mind as we consider the different lines of the Lord's Prayer. Tonight we're going to look at the address. We look at the words, Our Father in Heaven. Let's get into the matter at hand. Next slide. Congregation, when it comes to prayer, who do we pray to? How do we address God? Who do we pray to when God is actually three persons? Do we pray to all three? How does that work? Who do we pray to? Here's the answer. Ordinarily, usually, normally, we pray to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the usual way. So ordinarily, we pray to the Father. We pray to the Father through the avenue opened up to us by Jesus Christ because he died on the cross for us and rose again from the dead. And we pray to the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not to say we can never pray to Jesus or that we can never pray to the Holy Spirit. We can. There are instances of this in Scripture. Or you consider our hymns, many of which are prayers. I think of Hallelujah, sing to Jesus, right? That's a prayer to Jesus. Or you take Holy Spirit, mighty God, tune our ears to hear the word. That's a prayer to the Holy Spirit. So we may pray to Jesus, and we may pray to the Holy Spirit, especially if we want Jesus to be our advocate to the Father, or if we need the Holy Spirit in a special way to anoint us for something, for a task or whatever. That's all good. That's all good. But the usual way is to pray to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's noteworthy that Jesus taught us to pray to the Father. Of all the instances in Scripture where Jesus prayed, Jesus always prayed to the Father. Always. There's only one exception, and that was when Jesus was on the cross. There he prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? Note, though, in that prayer, Jesus was quoting Psalm 22. He was praying Scripture to God. In all the other instances, however, Jesus prayed to the Father, and that's what he told us to pray to as well. So who do we pray to? We pray to our Father in heaven. Next slide. Congregation, it's been said, as we believe, so we pray. As we believe, so we pray. As we believe, that affects how we pray. Does that follow? If you're an atheist, if you don't believe in God at all, then you don't pray, right? There's no point. Prayer means nothing if you don't believe in God. If you are an agnostic, if you're a person who doesn't know if God exists or not, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, that affects your prayer too. Prayer is rather empty if you're an agnostic. It doesn't mean very much. As we believe, so we pray. I don't know if God exists, and so I don't know if I should pray too. The same applies if you are a deist. You know what a deist is. A deist is a person who believes God exists, but he's way out there, and he doesn't care about you. God is the one who made the world like a clock. One day he just wound it up and he put it there on the mantle. Now he leaves it all alone. If you're a deist, then prayer is rather pointless too, isn't it? Why pray if God doesn't care about you? As we believe, so we pray. But if you're a Christian, that means you have a God who is close to you, and he's interested in you, and you have a relationship with him. That's what Christianity teaches, and that's who our God is. We have a God in relationship with us. As we believe, so we pray. Our God is so close, he's even got a name. When we call on his name, he's all ears. Just like when I call my wife, I may say, Marianne. And you know what? She's all ears. She's all listens. God does the same. Father. And he's all ears. Isn't that cool? As we believe, so we pray. Next slide. For your information, then, Father is God's name. My name is Ken. My wife's name is Marianne. We have names. Well, the first person in the Trinity has a name, too. His name is Father. All of which implies that we can't call God just any name that we want. It's inappropriate, then, to call God our mother. We hear that sometimes. We cannot call God that. Why not? What is wrong with that? I mean, the Bible does use female imagery for God. I think of Isaiah 66, verse 13, where the Lord says to his people, as a mother comforts her children, so will I comfort you. Or I think of Psalm 131, verses 1 and 2, where the psalmist describes his relationship with God as that of a child who walks trustingly beside his mother. What's wrong with calling God our mother? Here's the thing. We must distinguish between names for God and images or metaphors for God. Names are one thing, images are another. The same applies to people. I may act like a clown when I walk down the street, but that doesn't mean that my name is Clown Benjamins. I may be short, but no one has the right to call me Ken Short. That's not my name. And the same with God. Just because Scripture compares God to a mother or a chicken, for that matter, which Scripture does not make him our mother in heaven or our chicken. Those aren't his names. God's name is Father, and we are invited to call upon his name with respect, of course. How did Jesus teach us to pray? He taught us to say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." So Father is God's name. And it's a beautiful name. I'm in a relationship with my God, and it's an awesome thing that I may call him my Father. That's who he is. He's my Father. How rich. How comforting. Unless your own father was or is abusive to you. You know, I've met more than one person in my ministry who has said that they had much difficulty calling God their father because all that did was conjure up images of their own abusive, hurtful fathers. How very sad. Dads in our midst, dads, be very, very careful how you treat your kids. How you behave affects how your kids think about God. Father needs to be a positive term for our kids. If it isn't, then their view of God can be horribly distorted. Sure, as we believe, so we pray. God is our Father. The picture we need to have in our minds here then is someone who really cares for you, loves you, like a normal father does. If you're a person here tonight who has difficulty praying to God as Father because of your earthly father, may I suggest that you think of someone else who is or was a good father to somebody else. Maybe that will help. Either way, our God is loving and our God is caring. That's why I read from the Matthew chapter 7 passage. Matthew chapter 7, 7 to 11 again. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Our text says it well. That's not to say that our fathers don't send us difficult things or difficult days, and not that our father doesn't discipline us either. He does, but even the best of dads do that. They do so because they love their kids. The Heavenly Father certainly loves his children. He sent his own Son. He's given us the Holy Spirit. These are all very great gifts. Our God is good. That's what we believe. As we believe, so we pray. Next slide. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven," or "Our Father who art in heaven." That's the old version of the Lord's Prayer. Maybe some of us are still a bit more used to that. Our Father is a Father who is up in heaven. somehow Jesus did not want us to overlook that point. Our Father is way beyond us. He's very high. He's very holy. He's very mighty. I think of question and answer 121 of Lord's Day 46. The Catechism asks, why the words in heaven? And it answers, these words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty as something earthly, and to expect everything for body and soul from his almighty power. Yep, that makes sense to me. He's way up there. But then again, let's not misunderstand this. Our Father is up in heaven, but he's never aloof, and he's never distant from us, as if he wants to stay away from us. Nothing can be further from the truth. And so I think again of the wording of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your kingdom up there, let it come. Your kingdom come. It's hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is up in heaven. What are we praying for here? That heaven make its way, really, to the earth, so that our Father is always with us. That's what's going to happen in the end, you understand. When Christ returns, the new Jerusalem, heaven itself, will also make its way towards the earth. On that day, says Revelation 21, the dwelling of God will be with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself, the Father, will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's what's coming. On that day, we will be with the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, our Father, is going to bring this about. It's going to happen. We have foreshadows of it already. Communion is just one example of this. Blessings from heaven, from our Heavenly Father, make their way to us right here in this meal. Our Father does this. In the supper, we remember Christ's suffering for us. We take in, we accept the gospel. We take, eat, remember, and believe. And the Holy Spirit in all this, he works in us to bless us with the gifts that come from heaven, from our Father. And notice too, in communion, we are actually raised up to heaven as well. The Holy Spirit, he engrafts us into Jesus Christ, who is in the Father's presence. He raises us up to Christ. He brings us to Christ in heaven. And so in Christ, we are already with the Father. Our Father is so good, and that's why we pray. That's why we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings, and we thank you that you are our Father through Jesus Christ by the working of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that we may see you as a loving Father, a caring Father who loved us so much that he would save us from our sins in Jesus Christ, that we have the opportunity, the blessing, the privilege to gather around the table of the Lord as well tonight. Father, as we believe, so we pray. May we see you as a loving Father, and may we pray accordingly, looking up to you through Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer, bless our prayers, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn we're going to sing together is hymn number 560, Like a River Glorious. Let's stand together. Let's sing the two stanzas, hymn number 560.